Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. I'm Dr. Taves, your host. As always, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about some very, very practical things. We're going to talk about ways to incorporate movement into your day. So we'll start off talking about why movement is important. We'll talk about the problems with sitting and why sitting's a problem. One of my goals with this podcast is to get you guys to understand just how impactful, in a negative way, sitting can be. Okay, and the way we sit and the lack of movement. So when we starve our body of the movement that it's wanting, and oftentimes that's overlooked. I talk to patients every day, and the little things matter. The little things matter. How you're sitting, how you're standing, the frequency of movement that you're incorporating into your day. Those things really do matter. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about workstation setup. We're going to talk about all the little things that you can do to set yourself up for success if you're trying to implement movement throughout your day in the process of managing headaches or migraines, managing this neck tension that is building up, leading to this head or facial pain, and you're in this sort of vicious cycle and you're trying to break it. These are some of the most practical things that you can do. So we work with people virtually and in person. So what we're going to talk about here is a part of our process. Okay. So we're giving you free information here like we've always done, but this is some of the more practical stuff. So first thing to know is don't overlook this information. So some of this is going to feel very relatively simple, but it's impactful. And so I think bringing the impact to the simplicity of these principles and these little changes throughout your day is a big deal. And so that's something I want you guys to take home. The other thing that we're going to hit on that I want you guys to know is just that idea of movement as medicine. All right. So let me tell you a quick story. Just a patient that has gone through our process. We're kind of hitting roadblocks. We're plateauing in our progress. And one of the things I was noticing was that this patient would sit with legs crossed, with leaning to one side, standing was knees locked out, shifted onto one hip. The job was that they were working in was sedentary. It was a desk job. It was working at a computer. And so the implementation of the exercises of some simple stretches for the neck, for the shoulders, that was there. They were doing the exercises. But outside of that, all of those little things within their day were actually, we talk about time on your side versus time against you. So time was against this patient. And so we had to have a heart to heart. And I do this frequently. And so this story could probably fit with a dozen or so patients in the last several months. But it's a heart to heart on like these little things, incorporating movement, thinking about how you're sitting or standing. These little things really do make an impact. We've talked about them here and there throughout the podcast. I do have another podcast where we hit on like posture, importance of movement, but this is going to get, I think, even more detailed. So first off, we are talking to people, especially if you have a sedentary job, if you work at a desk looking at a computer screen, if you're sitting, if you don't have the opportunity to have a standing desk, this is for you. So this is going to be very helpful if you are in that situation. All right, so movement is medicine, but let's ask the question, but how? How is movement medicine? So we talk about how the next posture is the best posture, meaning having this sort of military style of sitting where you're very stationary, very stiff, but you're in a neutral position. That's not necessarily the best thing either. So we want you to continue to move and be dynamic. But how is that beneficial? So when it comes to movement in the context of headaches and migraines, there's a few things physiologically that we will get the benefit of. So first is blood flow. So all of these tissues within our body, so muscles, tendons, ligaments, the joints themselves. So blood flow into an area is a very good thing. When we think of a trigger point are these fibers within a muscle that are contracted, and they actually limit the amount of blood flow that can get into the area. And that lack of oxygen, that lack of blood flow causes a reaction of these, what are called cytokines. And there's these actual proteins that transmit the pain signal. So there's pain that can result from this tension that builds up within the muscle that's restricting blood flow. So we want to be dynamic and move. And so in this example of a trigger point, that muscle is responding likely to lack of movement or increased stress through it throughout the day. And so those fibers kind of go into this protective response, and we experience what is known as tension or a trigger point, a knot. Another benefit we get from movement are just this release of endorphins, these neurotransmitters, these the part of the brain, these endorphins access a part of the brain that give us that sort of runner's high. So when we exercise and we have the benefit of just feeling better after, that's what we're getting through these endorphins, these neurotransmitters that are signaling to the brain in a way that allows us to just feel better. Our mood is improved. It can also provide the benefit of stress relief. So general mobility is what we're looking for here. So we want to utilize all of the available motion within our joints, okay? So repetitive movements throughout the day. So say you you work in a factory or something, and you're assembling widgets, and you're doing the same movements throughout the day. So that can lead to increased stress on joints, ligaments, tendons, muscles, because you're not dynamic. It's still one movement and that same pattern over and over, but you're not teaching your body how to utilize all the available motion. So this general sense of mobility is what we're looking for. Another benefit we get from this is just energy levels will improve. So exercising during the day gets us in this regular cycle, wake-sleep cycle, but it also allows our body hormonally to be energized. So we have to elevate the level of energy or effort, the intensity of what we're doing through our body, through the muscles, through our physiologically, through all these different systems. They have to ramp up when we exercise. So we have this sort of ebb and flow, this cycle, this normal rhythm of what our body's used to. And so if we remove that rhythm, if we remove the sort of sleep-wake or the exercise-relax type of cycle, there's problems that come about from that. So let's talk about sitting. Sitting is, you've probably been heard, it's called the new smoking, okay? So it's associated with things like obesity, high blood pressure, cardiovascular issues, things like that. The things that actually will eventually kill you one day. And that's why it's compared to smoking, because smoking has been seen as one of the leading causes of like lung cancer. And a lot of people wind up in the hospital because of smoking. So the same idea is true. If you're sitting, it's not an immediate killer, but over time, it's putting this wear and tear and stress on these different systems of your body because they're not getting the proper stress. They're not getting the proper type of resistance or stress or the type of situation where they're going to grow and thrive and develop and become more resilient. And so we're not adding those good, healthy types of stress into our life. And so I guess the systems, in a sense, almost are like shutting down. All right. So when you sit, let's talk more musculoskeletally. When you're sitting, your head is forward. So your head weighs about 10 to 12 pounds when it's in a neutral position. You've probably heard me say that. What's interesting, though, is with a 15-degree tilt forward, so slight forward head posture, not much, the head will weigh 27 pounds, okay? So we're increasing, we're over doubling the weight of the head on the neck. So the amount of strain and pressure on the neck goes up to 27 pounds. At 30 degrees, it increases to 40 pounds, okay? A 40-pound weight. If you guys have gone to the gym and you do free weights, think about lifting up a 40-pound dumbbell. That's really heavy. Now, at just a 30-degree angle, which still is not a ton, your neck is going to have to hold up what feels like 40 pounds. Now, at 45 degrees, your head's going to weigh about 49 pounds. So the amount of stress on your neck increases to 49 pounds, okay? Nearly 50 pounds. That's a lot of weight. And then at 60 degrees, it's going to need to sustain what would feel like 60 pounds. All right, that's a lot of weight. So the cervical spine is designed to hold up the weight because we know that we have that available motion. Our neck is able to flex forward and be in that forward head position, okay? So it's not the fact that your head is at 60 degrees or 45 degrees or 30 degrees. The problem is that it's at those degrees and that forward angle for a long period of time. Because those muscles that run along your spine, the paraspinal muscles, so each side of your spine, all the way from the top of your head down to your tailbone, you have these muscle groups that are called the paraspinal muscles. Paraspinal meaning they just run along each side of the spine. Now, they help to extend our spine in general, maybe a little bit of side bending, maybe a little bit of rotation. But in general, their primary function is to help extend. So they help keep us upright. Now, when you're in neutral, those paraspinal muscles in the neck should generally be relaxed. We have different muscle groups that help us with our prolonged posturing positions. So if you're standing, your head is in neutral. We have the deep neck flexor muscles, which are actually in the front of the spine, that are going to be active enough to keep our head upright. And then, of course, the anatomy of the bones themselves allow each spinal vertebrae to rest on the other in a position that is relatively low stress, and it's intended to have this natural curvature to it. So we're sort of working against what the normal curvature of the spine is, and we're asking these muscles to do more work when our head is forward. Okay, again, you can have a forward head posture in the short term, but it's this, you know, 8 hours a day, you're sitting, your head is forward, and we're asking these paraspinal muscles to contract, to hold us upright, to hold our head, which should weigh 10 to 12 pounds, the weight of a bowling ball, but we're asking it to lift 27, 40, 50 pounds throughout the day, and so it can get really irritated. All right, so the amount of stress on the muscles themselves also is going to translate into the joints. We've talked about the OA joint, so that's probably the easiest one to connect this posture to because the OA joint refers to the base of the skull, so the head sitting on the first bone, and we should have this nodding movement there. So from neutral position, you should be able to nod forward about 10 degrees just in that one specific joint. Now, it's almost impossible to know if you have movement in there or not without being evaluated by a provider that can actually isolate that specific spot. If you have sensitivity or pain up there, it's likely that it's restricted. But our necks are really good at compensating. So just by like nodding your head like this, it's really hard to tell what the movement is up there. But with your head forward like this and the added stress on the neck through those paraspinals pulling to keep you upright, it can cause that joint to kind of forget how to move into the neutral and then in the additional 10 degrees of forward nodding. And so that added stress in that suboccipital area is where a lot of this stress and tension comes from. Okay, so you probably didn't need too much convincing that sitting with a forward head position was a bad thing, but there you go. You have more numbers behind it. The other thing that studies have shown us is that with sitting, specifically with this forward head position, it will change the afferent signals. So what that means is, so our muscles are constantly sending information to our brain that has to do with our spatial orientation, okay? So our brain realizes where our head is in relationship to space because our muscles are telling it the position that they're in, okay? So if a muscle is contracted or if it's lengthened, if it's relaxed, so the brain is getting that information, and it's getting that information from all these different muscles that surround our neck, and then it's telling our brain, the brain is taking that information and it's sort of deciphering or coming up with this idea of where we are in relationship to space, okay? So are the things around us. So we think about things like motion sickness, dizziness. We've talked about cervicogenic dizziness in our vestibular migraine podcast. So those are things that naturally come about when this, it's a big word called proprioception, when the proprioception, that signaling of our muscles to our brain, is off, when it's not functioning quite like it should. We also see that it can impact breathing. So our head position is going to rely on our shoulders and these scalene muscles that run along the side of our neck. And so what happens is it's going to change our positioning enough that the normal breathing pattern, which should be initially your diaphragm, and then we use some accessory muscles to expand our ribs, and then ultimately our shoulders. So our breathing pattern can actually change. And then the last thing, which we've talked about before, is this altered autonomic function. So we actually see the sympathetic nervous system can be ramped up with a forward head position. All right. So what that means is that fight or flight response, instead of rest and digest, the fight or flight response of the sympathetic nervous system, which has an impact on all these different systems in our body, can be ramped up, which has to do with the anxiety and stress level. Okay. So just by getting yourself out of this position and implementing movement into your day can reverse all of these negative effects. So from the CDC, they did a study, kind of a ergonomic workplace type study, where they provided standing desks to half of this subject group, and then the other half received, they didn't receive anything. It was just their normal workstation setup. Okay, so just by providing a standing desk, they were able to reduce the time spent sitting by 224%. So about 66 minutes per day per individual that received the standing desk. So about an hour per day. All right, so what did they find as far as the benefits of an hour of standing per day outside of just a straight 8-hour workday where you're sitting? So they saw that it reduced upper back and neck pain by 54%. So they reduced upper back and neck pain by half. They improved mood states. But the thing that they found is that once they removed the standing desk, most of those benefits were reversed within 2 weeks. So whatever benefit they got from the study, they took the standing desk away, people were sitting, within 2 weeks they were back to their neck pain and their back pain. Okay? So hey, all, I wanted to let you in on some exciting news. Novera Headache Center is growing. We're expanding. We now have two locations. One of the needs we have is to actually hire another physical therapist. A physical therapist, and then potentially even administrative staff. So if you are a physical therapist, if you know of a physical therapist, or maybe you're not a physical therapist, you just have a skill set that you think we could benefit from in our mission to educate and empower people with headaches and migraines, what I want you to do is to email hello@noveraheadachecenter.com, and we will get you started on this application process. We'll start the conversation. We want to tap into the network of people we already have who get what we're doing and want to be a part of this mission. So we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much. We talk about empowering people on this podcast. You have the ability to make these changes. If you're dealing with neck tension, upper back tension, and you work at a desk and your head is forward and you have not tried these things, please, please make this a first step today. Stand for that 66 minutes and just keep doing it and believe that it will help you, because it is. It's abiding by a principle that your body needs to move. And then applying that principle over and over allows time to be on our side. Okay, so let's talk a bit about workstation setup. All right, so again, we're going to get practical here. So I do want you to have a standing desk. I love standing desks. We have them in our office when I'm doing my admin work, when I'm recording this podcast right now. I am using a standing desk. All right, doesn't mean you can never sit. I still have a chair. I still sit every now and then, but I do want to stand. Again, I want to utilize all the available movements that I have. So I want to sit, I want to stand, I want to reach back, I want to reach forward, I want to reach up. I want my head to turn in all directions and look up and down. And so we want to use as many movements as we can throughout the day. A few simple things that you can use to kind of allow yourself more movement is moving the printer or the restroom, or moving your office away from the restroom and moving the printer further away so that you have to actually get up and move, walk to get to those things if you're using the printer regularly. Stairs or elevator. So if you are in an office building and you're on the third floor, use the stairs. Okay. So maybe if you're on the 20th floor or if you're in New York City or something, and it's just unreasonable to use the stairs, I understand that. But if you can use the stairs, let's use the stairs. That's a great way. You can even get your heart rate up a little bit. So when you're standing at your desk now that you got your standing desk, I want you to do a couple things. I want you to do chin tucks. So slide your head back, do this little chin tuck, okay? Feel a little stretch on the backside of your head. I also want you to do shoulder squeezes. So I want you to pull your shoulder blades back every now and then, okay? Squeeze your shoulder blades together. I want you to rotate. I want you to kind of keep your arms together, but rotate side to side so that you get a little bit of rotation through your thoracic spine. Rotation is a movement people don't always get, but it's amazingly therapeutic. We can get rotation through our thoracic spine, through our mid-back, just with going on walks. So if you're really intentional with walking to the printer, to the bathroom, you're swinging your arms, getting some movement through your shoulders, through your upper back, that's a great, great way to add movement into your day. Setting a timer to take a quick stretch, break, or walk around. So timer might be every half hour. If you're sitting for a half an hour, I would love for you to get up and move around. Half hour might be my personal limit for how long I want to be sitting before I need to change my posture. Using your lunch break, going on a walk on your lunch break, just changing your environment during lunch so that you have to get up and be dynamic. Morning and evening routine. So in the evening, sitting on the couch is probably, it is a behavior that we want to get people out of, but a walk around the block can be a really nice thing, especially as the days are getting longer. Our evenings, we're seeing some sunshine still, so let's start to walk around the block in the evening. Getting your family involved so that they hold you accountable, making it more of a social thing. You can also, as far as exercise is concerned, just go onto YouTube and find some form of an exercise that you are comfortable with. So as far as exercise is concerned, if you have headaches or migraines, we don't want this to be a trigger for you. So the idea is to increase the amount of exercise that you're capable of gradually. Start with something simple. It could be going on a walk. It could just be body weight exercises, but do something that your body can tolerate. Typically with exercise, if it's going to trigger something, it's going to be relatively quickly after. There is a situation where it could be the next day. So if you have an exercise routine, typically it's when the intensity is high enough that you add stress to these different muscle groups. The next morning, you might feel kind of stiff. So if you wake up one morning and you're trying to figure out like why do I have kind of a headache today, the exercise routine you had the day before might be an issue. It doesn't mean you should stop exercise. It just means you might need to more gradually build to that level of intensity. Habit stacking. So things that you do throughout your day. So whether it's brushing your teeth, waiting for the oven to heat up, whatever it may be, just find that time where you have a couple minutes of like you could move to some extent. You could implement some stretch. You could do the little chin tucks. You could pinch your shoulder blades back. Find that regular routine and then stack something very simple that incorporates movement onto that. All right. So with exercise itself, we want consistency. A very gentle way to start exercise would be yoga if you're someone that's struggling to find an exercise that doesn't trigger your symptoms, and then having accountability and potentially even scheduling your workouts, just like you would a doctor's appointment or something like that. Put them on your calendar, maybe share your calendar with a significant other so that you have that accountability. All right. So a couple things that we do here. If you are trying to implement movement into your day-to-day life and you're looking for accountability, you're looking for direction, our Headache and Migraine Masterclass is a more in-depth dive at what this neck problem that causes this head and facial pain, which is the source of all sorts of headaches and migraines. We go into depth with that, but we also have videos on the types of exercises that you can be doing at home. And that's available on our website. You can purchase that whenever. It's $150 for the Headache and Migraine Masterclass. But the other thing you can do is work with us virtually through our health coaching option. And that's where we hold you accountable. We would meet with you over the course of 4 visits or more, but it's an hour session and we meet every 2 weeks. We create goals, we educate, and then we want to hold you accountable to those. And we've seen really, really impactful stuff come out of that. Okay. And then of course our bread and butter, our primary product is if you come out here and we can actually provide you with hands-on treatment and then all the education and resources in addition to that to help you walk through this process of navigating these headaches and migraines. We appreciate you, the listener, so much, and we want to continue to grow our impact on this podcast. We need you to write us a 5-star review, letting us know how grateful you are for what we're doing, but also describing the impact that this podcast has had on your life so that someone that's looking at podcasts or looking at educating themselves to understand their own symptoms can read that review, and this can potentially have an impact on their life. We love the work we do because it does change lives, and we want to continue to grow. So please help us by writing a review. As always, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication, allowing you to thrive in everything you do. Thanks so much for listening to the Headache Doctor Podcast. Hey guys, before we sign off, just one last reminder that we are looking to hire a physical therapist. If you know of a physical therapist or if you are one and you want to join our mission, again, send us an email at hello@noveraheadachecenter.com and we'll get you started on the process. Thanks so much for being a part of this mission and listening to this podcast and sharing, spreading the word. We'll see you next time.